generally are managed, supervised, and run by Jewish Zionists. I'm talking about Harvard and Columbia.
Yep.
These are basically Jewish controlled universities, and the professors are generally Marxist Jews at those universities. So this is his training. This is his from his mother up to his I understand his grandmother who recently died, who was a white woman. He has been inculcated with this Jewish Marxism.
Yes, he has.
And so everything about him is Marxist, socialist, Jewish, Zionism.
That's right.
But being a black man or half black, he had a problem. How can you become famous? How can you be elected to high office in the United States as a black man? Well, you must be a black man. Okay? And so he went to Chicago, even though he's really more white than he is black in his culture. Okay? He really has no black culture. He went to white, Caucasian, highly affluent schools all the way through high school. I mean, all of his classmates were all mostly white, you know, some Hawaiian, Asian, but mostly they were white. He was raised by white grandparents. All of his friends were white. Then he went to white universities, really Jewish-run universities in Columbia and Harvard.
Let me ask you this, though. I mean, because, you know, the issue, what I have shared on CII broadcast is that I am a man who wants to choose people based upon their character and based upon their actions as opposed to their color. But what we have in America is with this push toward calling everybody a Latino American or an Arab American or a black American, you know, African American, what it does is it forces our thinking into our race or into our ethnic origins, and what they end up doing is pitting one against the other, and they force us into these fights that shouldn't ever exist. What we should find is that this community and that community should get along based upon good people or bad people instead of the race of someone, but that's not what we end up with. And the black community doesn't see that Barack Obama is not going to be the person they think he is. They are going to get sold out first by him.
That's what I wanted. Exactly, you're echoing exactly my thoughts on this. What he did, though, he's very much a pragmatist. He's really in a way, he's a political genius. As was Lenin and Trotsky before him.
Yes.
He's very much a Marxist political genius. Now, his genius was to understand that he had to gain a foothold in the political realm. He first had to be a black man. Now, I agree with you. This is a very sad thing. But first of all, he had to go to Chicago, a black city, basically, okay? And go to the black areas there, and he had to join a black church. It was a large church, because you don't do any good politically if you have a small church. He became a state legislator from a black district. He got approval of black leaders. He was a black community organizer. He even made friends with the black Muslims. All right?
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
So
including Farrakhan.
In every way, right? In every way, he was a white person pretending to be black so that he could gain a foothold, and he did. Now
he did, yes.
What I want people to understand is this: Chicago. If you want to look at the dominant forces in Chicago, here they are. Okay, there's the black community, which is really. Not that powerful.
They're not powerful,
okay?
No. They're just not numerous.
You know, that's right. The Jesse Jacksons, all of them, very poor. They have some political organizing pull, but not much. But the real force in Chicago is the Jews.
That's right.
Now, if you want to, you know, you can go all the way back to the days of Al Capone, the gangster, And you will find out in Sam Giancana and all of those Italian mafia.
Now,
all of them had Jewish bosses.
Jewish masters, the Brothman family making Seagrams for Capone, and then the Pritzner family and the Crown family making bootlegging, and then of course they moved into prostitution and drugs, and they inflicted that on the black community. They've always used the black communities as a way of raising money from illicit drugs and illicit prostitution, and it's been, they have been raped and destroyed the black community rather than being lifted up. And here comes this man. He's a fraud. He's a false savior for these people. And yet, Tex, I want you to maybe address this. Many people are talking about him in religious terms. It couldn't be more stomach turning for me to see that this fraud, this hypocrite, this lying sociopath, as you've correctly observed, is nothing more than a sellout of his own race and of the people that he has claimed to support. But this goes back a long way, as you just said. I mean, the University of Chicago, which sets the doctrine for the city of Chicago, are run by people like Strauss, the Straussian people, which actually is communist socialist. And it goes back for a long time. It's actually very, very disturbing when you start looking into it, Tex.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Meyer Lansky was the Chicago kingpin.
Yes.
The gangster element.
Golda Meir came from that area.
There you go. So here's what Obama did. And it's very clear what he did. He was ingenious enough. He said, how can I get to the top? The blacks can't make me. Look what happened to Jesse Jackson. You know, I can become a head of some charity or some black pastor or something, but that's nothing. I want to get to the top. Who has the power to make me president of the United States? Well, who has the power? The Jews.
And guess who he saddled up with was Rahm Emanuel, which we've discussed on the show with other guests. But you wanna give your take on his chief of staff? Oh,
well, yes. For years, Rahm Emanuel has been the controller for Barack Obama. But this has been a hidden connection.
Yep.
Now,
yep.
Axelrod,
oh boy, yep.
Was the official campaign manager. So he is Jew. He has been involved in Chicago and Illinois politics for over 30 years. So we have Mr. Axelrod, who becomes the campaign manager, but the man with all the money behind the scenes, the puppet master, is Rahm Emanuel.
That's right.
Now, Rahm Emanuel is the kingmaker in Chicago. And he's been kingmaker in Congress for a number of years as well.
And wasn't he mega in the Clinton White House? He was the guy behind the scenes forcing the Clintons to do exactly as he dictated, because he was the guy that sent Monica Lewinsky into the White House.
That is right. Yeah. You know, Dick Morris, who was Bill Clinton's chief political advisor, was on Fox TV network, the American network, this last week.
Yeah.
And he revealed some interesting things. You know, Dick Morris is himself Jewish.
Yep.
But you know, like anything else, among thieves, there's no honor, you know. And Dick Morris doesn't really like Rahm Emanuel, but believe me, he will get in line very quick.
Oh boy, yes, he will.
He was a McCain supporter. An advisor during the campaign. Now, and by the way, Dick Morris was the one who vetted and out, and he actually traveled to Israel, and he and Bill Kristol of the National Review magazine, they went to Alaska and chose Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin was actually chosen by Rahm Emanuel with the blessing of Bill Kristol and Dick Morris. But Dick Morris and Bill Kristol went to Alaska and interviewed her and spent days with her before anybody knew her. And let me say something else about Sarah Palin as our vice in the gallery ran for vice president. No sooner was she elected as governor of Alaska, and remember there are 50 governors, there are 50 states in the United States, that in Israel they celebrated her election as governor of Alaska. And as a matter of fact, if you don't believe me, go online and you can go to the archives of Israel National Radio. And one of the most popular talk shows in Israel, it claims to interview all the movers and shakers, is the Tamar Yonah show. Tamar Yonah, Yonah show. And only a couple of months after Sarah Palin was elected as governor of Alaska, Miss Yonah of National Israel Radio did a two-hour special on her, acclaiming her as a great friend of Israel and a Zionist promoter.
Well, didn't she have the Israeli flag in her office? Didn't she have there's a picture of her in her governor's office with an Israeli flag beside an American flag behind her desk.
Absolutely. And so this is why they want, and by the way, the reason why she is going to be very prominent in Republican politics for the next 4 years is because she is the Zionist billionaire's choice. And as I said, Dick Morris himself, he admitted that he went to Alaska on a cruise with other rich Jews, and they met with her, and then along came Bill Kristol. He went all the way to Alaska. All these people, you know, so she has been chosen. She wasn't surprised by anything. And by the way, I don't think McCain had ever even met the woman before.
This shows you, Tex, on how important the candidate really is, because the fact is, Obama is still going to take his orders from others. I mean, Zinoviev Brzezinski, of course, is the mirror image of our friend Henry Kissinger there, that criminal, that crazed Zionist. He's a homosexual pedophile. And the fact is, Zinoviev Brzezinski, is working with people like Dennis Ross, another Zionist Jew, Holbrooke, another Zionist Jew. And I mean, we've got this whole administration setting up, and we got Larry Summers coming on board, the guy that orchestrated the ruination of our financial system back in the Clinton years. I mean, we've got it's all Jewish all the time, all Zionist all the time in our government.
That's right. You know, he's brought back Paul Volcker, former chairman of the Federal Reserve, who's Jewish, of course.
Yeah.
And helped to cover up the United Nations scandal. So, you know, and Rubin, who was Secretary of Treasury under Bill Clinton, and of course, even Rahm Emanuel himself was a Wall Street broker investment guy.
And also an IDF soldier.
Yeah, an IDF soldier. And by the way, I like this. You know, it really is sort of interesting. When the first Persian Gulf War began, United States against Iraq, right? And Saddam.
Yeah.
Here is a guy, Rahm Emanuel, an American citizen, so-called, right? And guess what? He was such a patriot that he flew to the Middle East and joined the armed forces so he could fight Saddam Hussein and the Iraqi Muslims. But wait, as you just stated, he was an American, but he didn't go to join the American armed forces. He went to join the Israeli forces, who were not even fighting.
That's right.
Of course,
that's right.
Because he didn't want to get shot at. He's a coward.
That's right. And on top of that, his father was a terrorist and a known terrorist that we allowed into the United States, knowing full well he participated with people like Menachem Begin in bomb placement and all kinds of terrorist acts throughout the 60s and 1950s with people like Moshe Dayan and even what's his name, that tub of lard that the Sharon and the rest of them. This these people, this their gun is the roots of this Rahm Emanuel.
Oh, yes. Rahm Emanuel, you know, the very name is, you may know about, means evidently, they claim that Rahm in Hebrew means the highest or high.
Yeah.
And Emmanuel, of course, means God. So he's the most high God. That's the meaning of his name. He's a monster of a man, and I'm sure you've covered some of the things with your audience there. Now, remember, this man is going to be the White House Chief of Staff.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
But when one person, a pollster, supposedly released a poll that showed that Clinton wasn't too popular in some key states, he sent him a dead fish by mail. Now, I want you to think about that. Sent the pollster, you know, what's the message there? Well, that's what the mafia of Chicago do. You know, you're going to be swimming with the fishes. You're going to be a dead man.
Yeah.
And so this was the threat. So why isn't he in prison now for making a threat like that? Now, in addition, Rahm Emanuel, you know, after the impeachment process failed, he was, White House assistant to Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
And the report is, and evidently it's been verified, that he got up, they had a meeting to talk about how they were going to get back and get vengeance against Bill Clinton's enemies. And he had a butcher knife in his hand. And he named each of the enemies of Bill Clinton in turn. And after each name, he stabbed that knife in the table and said, he's a dead man. The next one, he named him and he said, he's dead. The next one, he's dead. This is the kind of... He's a monster. But keep in mind, now he's White House Chief of Staff. Actually, he is the dictator. He is the Stalin Trotsky to Lenin.
Yes. And you know what else I know? The listeners may not know, and a lot of people around the world held Bill Clinton in high regard. Bill Clinton was responsible for murders across America of all his opponents. There were so many... fraudulent suicides, double shot in the back of the head, and the medical examiner said suicide, or so many people were thrown off bridges or out of windows. We lost 156 people during the Clinton years under suspicious circumstances, including the Vince Foster one, where he slit his wrist, but there was, you know, the body had been dragged there, and everything about that was a murder. And in fact, this guy Emanuel was the guy orchestrating much of these actions, because he was the guy with the viciousness in him to do it.
You know, to confirm what you said, Dick Morris said something very interesting. He was on the Bill O'Reilly Show.
Mm.
You know, the most popular show on Fox Network. And, he got to talking, and, you know, he likes to talk. But he said something I think is going to come back to haunt him. He actually said that Bill Clinton, and I'm going to quote him. This is Dick Morris now, the chief political advisor to President Bill Clinton. He said President Clinton was afraid of Rahm Emanuel. Now, I want you to think about that, okay? He's president of the United States, Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Rahm Emanuel is supposedly just an assistant counsel in the White House, a little man. But Dick Morris, who's the chief advisor for Bill Clinton, says, quote, Bill Clinton was afraid of Rahm Emanuel. He was afraid of him.
Well, there's good reason, though. I mean, you know, you watch this man's track record and you know what he's willing to do, but, you know, he doesn't fall far from the Chertoff template either, because, I mean, this guy Chertoff has been responsible. You look at the man, he looks like the devil himself. And we look like we're getting the Chertoff on steroids in Rahm Emanuel, doesn't it?
Well, it does. Now, I want you to think of a couple, your audience to think of a couple of things here, Daryl. Joseph Lieberman.
Oh, boy.
Who will do anything to both kill Muslims, and to promote Israel. He is an Israel firster, and he will do anything to promote Judaism, and he hates Muslims with a purple passion. Now, this man, being a supposedly part of the Democrat setup there, endorsed John McCain, a Republican. Now, in the history of the United States, any time that happened, he was finished. He should be finished as far as the Democrat Party is concerned.
Yeah.
But this very day, the Democrats had a meeting, the senators had a meeting in which they forgave him of everything. And as a matter of fact, they, now listen to this, you're going to find this quite interesting, Daryl. According to the news that I heard right before I left home, right before this program, Senator Joseph Lieberman, who actually endorsed and supported and campaigned for the Republican candidate, John McCain, for president, who actually spoke at the Republican convention, was nevertheless rewarded today by the Democrats and by Senator Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, and they said not only would he be allowed to stay in the Democratic caucus and vote with the Democrats and meet with them secretly and so forth, but he would retain his chairmanship of, get this, the Senate's Homeland Security Committee.
Oh, boy. That's not good, huh?
Now so you see what they've done here. They did not want anyone but an Islamic hater, a Jewish monster, to be head of Homeland Security. So all of the Jewish billionaires on Wall Street, they pull strings and no doubt threaten a few of the Democratic senators to make sure that he would keep his job. This is unprecedented, that you support the Republican candidate and you're not only allowed to stay among the Democratic senators, but you're actually told you will keep your chairmanship of the committee. But which committee is it? It's the one that, you know, the chairman has control of the Gulag concentration camps and all of the many billions of dollars, so he can give as many billions of dollars as he wants to the Israeli Mossad and to the murderers who are going to be going around assassinating Americans and Muslims around the world.
That's right.
And covering it up.
That's right.
And that's Joseph Lieberman. That's Joseph, the Jew Lieberman, is now head of the Homeland Security. But that's not all. The Secretary of State has been chosen.
Yeah.
And who is it but Hillary Rodham Clinton, who herself, she told New Yorker magazine when she was first running for senator, she said, my grandmother was Jewish, and we spoke Yiddish in our home.
Yeah. We're at the end of our program here, Tex, and I want to let you know that this information is not widely understood or known outside of a number of researchers like ourselves. One of the things I'd like people to do right now is to jot down your website address, and I want people to go to know that you have books available, incredible books. I've got one here about monuments around the world that depict in stark detail some of these groups' buildings that they've built over the last couple of centuries, and not centuries, millennia, that depict satanic temples and bizarre rituals and sickening things in it. It is a remarkable book, ladies and gentlemen. But Tex, could you give out your websites, please?
Sure, Daryl. It's powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. And by the way, it's been wonderful being with you again, Daryl. And you know, but I do hope your audience understands that there are people just like Daryl Bradford Smith and Tex Morris who want peace,
yeah,
who don't have anything but love in their hearts.
Yeah.
And that's true of, you know, I, as a Christian, a true Christian, I want only the best for the people of Africa, the people of France, of Europe, and Americans too. So we're going to fight very, very hard. But we're going to fight also false Christianity. And I want the people to understand there are those who are true Christians. We may not be the majority, but there's enough of us to believe that the Muslims do have friends.
They do. You know what, Tex? You are a friend of the French Connection. You always have been. And you know, I know you're a friend to righteous and kind people worldwide. And you're one of the people who has always been able to speak his mind and the truth. And I have to admire that with you know, I give you my hats off to you, my friend. You are a remarkable truth teller, and I'm proud to know you.
Thank you, Daryl, and God bless you and your audience. So let's just keep it. We're in a warfare here, and I think the greatest weapon we have is just to keep telling the truth.
There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, Tex Mars, my friend, truth teller, remarkable human being. I am so proud to have had him on this today's show and to let the listening audience know that there are many people like us out there who are fighting to bring a righteous, good, honest government and governance to our world so that freedom and freedom of religion and freedom of thought and freedom of movement and freedom of our life's choices can be honored and not destroyed by criminality and by criminal Zionism. Ladies and gentlemen, until the next time, this is Daryl Bradford Smith telling you all, please take care of your families and please be well. Bye-bye now.